from Illinois Public Media. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. From Minnesota to New Orleans, the Mississippi River is a sight to behold. It defines the entirety of Illinois' western border. It's a crucial link in our economy, especially as it relates to agriculture and natural resources. And it's one of the most important waterways in the United States. The excellent CBS Sunday Morning took a meander down the river several years ago.
The mighty Mississippi rises gently here at its headwaters in northern Minnesota.
And it all begins here, some 200 miles northwest of Minneapolis. More kiddie pool than storied colossus.
Now that I got you in the river, what we actually have to do is we have to go from the east side of the Mississippi and walk across to the west. And as we're going, you need to make a wish, because it is told that in 90 days, your wish will come true. Because in 90 days is when this water will reach the Gulf of Mexico.
It's still seriously important economically and culturally, musically, all sorts of ways. And it's just a beautiful piece of nature.
And it's not just its role in commerce, it's its role in the imagination and in the American mind.
I think the Mississippi represents the power and the majesty of the USA. All of the characteristics that we want to give to this country, I think we can find inside the Mississippi River.
Again, CBS Sunday Morning, Mo Rocca reporting 5 years ago. Of course, the river has many uses for all people. In fact, a recent poll from the Hispanic Access Foundation found that the health of the Mississippi River is of great concern to Hispanic and Latino individuals. The poll also looks at some other environmental concerns of Hispanics and Latinos as it associates with the Mississippi River. So joining us now to talk more about this is Vanessa Munoz, Waterways Program Manager for the Hispanic Access Foundation. Vanessa, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for making the time.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Especially if you live near the Mississippi River. How important do you think it is? Do you think of it chiefly from a conservation perspective or an economic perspective? How do you strike that balance? 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Vanessa, let's begin with the poll itself. And before we even get to the findings, let's start with why. Why survey Hispanic and Latino people about the Mississippi?
Absolutely. So the poll was really important overall, because we believe that releasing the survey that captures Latino viewpoints is crucial for representation, equity, and inclusion, and addressing disparities and influencing change, especially in an election year.
And maybe you can just talk briefly about what the Hispanic Access Foundation does and how conservation fits more broadly into that.
So Hispanic Access Foundation is a nonprofit that connects Latinos and others with partners and opportunities to improve lives and create an equitable society. And we have I'm part of our conservation department that focuses on four main pillars. So we have climate change, we've got waterways and watersheds, oceans and coast, and public lands. And so this poll, we really wanted to commission it so we can really identify those different viewpoints for these underrepresented communities, especially for Latinos. And so they can have these resources available to really create that change in their communities.
So let's talk about the poll then. How did you go about conducting it? What did you find?
So the poll was actually commissioned in partnership with FM3 and New Bridge Strategy. They're a bipartisan research group. And they did the poll from July 23rd to August 1st. They did the data collection through telephone interviews, online interviews, and they had a total sample size of 760 members, and with an oversample of 400 Latino voters. And we were specific on drawing these registered voters from the 10 states that the Mississippi River runs through. So we have Arkansas, Illinois, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. And so it captured the Latino voters from those 10 states along the Mississippi River. And we were intentional with choosing different counties that were close to the Mississippi River.
And what were some of the big picture findings?
Some of the big picture findings is we heard a lot about climate change, protect policies, and conservation and water concerns. So we had 67% specific to Latinos consider climate change being an extremely or very serious problem. We also had 62% of Latinos think that air pollution is a very extreme or very serious problem. When it comes to protecting 30 by 30, 87% of Latinos support the 30 by 30 goal of conserving 30% of America's land, fresh water, and ocean by the year 2030. And when it came to conservation, 74% of Latinos consider the pollution of rivers, lakes, and streams to be a very or extremely serious problem.
Microplastics, PFAS, forever chemicals, chemical waste, that sort of thing, I understand, ranked high. All right, let's get into the river itself. And maybe even more broadly than the river, but just when we're thinking about nature, can you talk about the significance of nature and its association with Latino culture?
Absolutely. So the health of Latino communities is intimately tied to the health of our waterways, which plays a role on our livelihoods, culture, history, and spirituality. And our waters are deeply connected to our stories. They provide a place for families and friends to gather, to connect, relax, as a stress reliever after a long day of work, and to create memories with loved ones. And it's also an economic driver. So our rivers, they also provide a source of drinking water. It's important for irrigating crops, for habitat for aquatic life, and for countless recreational activities. And so we think that it's important to address these different concerns and that were raised from these different statistics, right? You mentioned microplastics. As a matter of fact, 89% of Latinos think that microplastics are a major or minor threat to the river. Same for 93% of Latinos believe that trash dumped in rivers and streams are a major threat to the Mississippi River. So it's important to take all of these different viewpoints into account, especially if we're going to create policies that address this. And the Mississippi River is really important because often communities of color don't have access to nature or their surroundings. And these disparities are concerning because nature should be for everyone. And it really is a necessity for people's physical and mental well-being.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Vanessa Munoz, who is Waterways Program Manager at the Hispanic Access Foundation, which recently surveyed Hispanic and Latino people along the Mississippi River about their views on the river and conservation and pollution and how they think of it in terms of whether that's a priority for them. If you want to join us today, the number for that is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Vanessa, you were just talking about the access to nature and the significance of nature. I think you're getting at something that's been referred to as the nature gap, right? We've talked on this program about all the different food deserts and news deserts and legal deserts. I guess the term is not nature desert. That would be strange, but talk about the nature gap and how it relates to Hispanic individuals in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. So the nature gap is that lack of access to nature in the communities of color, right? Those disparities, where there's underrepresentation in these spaces. And not only access to, but also representation in agencies and these different parks. And in the poll, we actually did ask Latinos why, what are some certain barriers to visiting the river or these natural spaces? And 58% said that it's a major and minor threat is not having enough free time. 50% said they don't feel safe, and 44% said that there's not enough parks for them to visit. So we can clearly see that there is a gap in communities of color that live in these polluted areas without sufficient tree cover or spaces to go outdoors or access or time to visit these different rivers. And a lot of the times, these low-income communities are more susceptible to developing compromising illnesses such as asthma. And so these natural spaces are really important because it's important for them to have a safe space, a space that is also a cooling surrounding area in times of these extreme weather patterns. And also, there's studies that show that children who spent time outdoors in natural environments, they experience improved health and cognitive functions, strong motor coordination, it reduces stress, and it's important to have these students to have access to these natural spaces, especially the Mississippi River.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it's not just sort of overall health, you mentioned, but like mental health really can be affected by time in nature.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So in the survey, a good number of people indicated they do not feel like they would be welcome on the Mississippi River. Talk about that finding.
I think it's interesting that oftentimes communities of color, they don't feel welcomed or they don't feel safe in these different spaces just because of that lack of representation. And also oftentimes like signage is in one language and it's difficult for them to understand, especially if they speak different languages. So it's important to have resources in different languages. It's important to have representation, people who look like them, people who make them feel comfortable or could guide them or they could feel comfortable enough to ask questions. And a lot of the times, there's also this misconception that nature is scary. So there needs to be more educational materials and tools to really bring communities out and together in these natural spaces.
Say more about that idea that nature is scary. Like, can you, are there good examples of places that maybe do things, what you would say is like best practices for that? You know, and I say that sometimes as someone who enjoys nature, but it can be scary, right? Like, there are good reasons to think that nature is scary.
Right. No, yeah, I think that it's that unknown that makes it scary, right? That unknown of where you're going, what could happen out in nature. But in reality, it's just a beautiful place to create these memories and to recreate and for, like you mentioned, your physical and your mental well-being. And actually in this poll we did, the community did say that they believe that the Mississippi River is important for their community. So it was actually one of the statistics that they believe the Mississippi River is important for their communities.
So the Mississippi River, it's a natural place, right? There are parks and recreational opportunities, but it is a major source of water for manufacturing and other jobs. It's also an avenue for commerce. A lot of agricultural and natural resources move on the river. How do we balance sort of taking care of the river, conserving it, while also considering employment? And a lot of people's jobs depend on access to the river.
That's a great question. And I think it starts with community action and kind of how we create these policies around how we better protect our waterways. The poll did find that 86% of Latinos support providing funding to improve recreational access to these spaces. 89% believe that we need to support funding to help local communities recycle wastewater by treating and purifying it to make it safe for use. So there's multiple policies that could be implemented to help support the health of our waterways. So by understanding, the environmental and like social concerns of the communities, especially what this data shows, is that we can move forward in addressing these disparities and target solutions to improve the infrastructure, to improve the way that we manage agricultural runoff. And that could really like help catapult Latinos into action and help drive for change. And these findings really underscore that Latinos are ready for meaningful change. And so if we really pursue policies rooted in justice and equity, we can ensure that those voices that are marginalized can be the center of the efforts for positive change.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Vanessa Munoz with the Hispanic Access Foundation. She's Waterways Program Manager there. And we are talking about a survey of Hispanic and Latino people who live on or near the Mississippi River and their attitudes about it in terms of conservation and access and preservation and those sorts of topics. We're going to continue this conversation after the break, and we will also then, later in the show, be talking about an effort to make the Shawnee National Forest into a Shawnee National Park and Climate Preserve. That's all coming up after a break here on the 21st show. I do want to mention you can also find us now on YouTube, which is reportedly the top place where people are listening to podcasts these days. We are there. Just search for Illinois Public Media. Again, go to YouTube, search Illinois Public Media. More to come here on the 21st show after a break. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking this morning to start our program about the Mississippi River. Obviously, one of America's most important waterways. It defines the entire western border of Illinois. Do you live on or near the river? What do you think about efforts at conservation, how we should balance that against commerce? You can join us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And we are talking today about the Mississippi with Vanessa Munoz, who is the Waterways Program Manager at the Hispanic Access Foundation, which recently surveyed Hispanic and Latino people along the river and inquired about their attitudes with regard to issues like commerce and conservation, climate change, and pollution in the water, microplastics, forever chemicals, those sorts of things. If you want to join us again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, so Vanessa, among the solutions, the sort of actions that people considered or were asked to consider in the survey, what seemed to be the most interesting to the people who were surveyed?
Some of the different findings that were really interesting were a range of specific policies to protect and restore the river. We have strong support for initiatives that encourage farmers to use sustainable practices that improve soil health. We also had strong support in providing funding to prepare and prevent the worst impacts of flooding. Also, like I mentioned, local communities having more funding for recycle wastewater by treating and purifying it to make it safe for use. And also providing more funding to improve recreational access to the Mississippi River. And like I mentioned before, it's important for all levels of government to aim to create and support programs and avenues for these underserved communities, and not just provide them with comment or consultations on decisions that affect their environment or the Mississippi River, but also take the lead in the decision making, right? This would allow for direct impact and contribution so we can protect these natural areas or polluted waters or the lack of access. And so it's important also to have these efforts and resources for decision making in multiple languages other than just English, so we can ensure that these affected communities can provide a meaningful public comment and consultation.
You know, on that question of you know, getting into the public policy realm of this, what more does the survey tell us about the voting patterns of the people you talk to?
So we could definitely see that some of the things that low income and people of color were concerned about were promoting more use of clean and renewable energy to promote cleaner air, providing more funding, right, to address these disparities, and providing more multi-language educational resources, especially when it comes to natural disasters or emergency preparedness. So we can see definitely see the different gaps between these resources, especially for potential policies.
And so what approaches would you like to see our elected officials taking to meet the concerns of the people who are surveyed?
It's important to allow elected officials to look at these different results and really aim to address them and get involved with community members and get their opinions and feedback and viewpoints on what needs to be changed. Because all these different needs are based on different communities, are based on different states. So it's important to really be able to address those so we can have impactful environmental change and positive change to these different marginalized communities, and especially in an election year. These findings really underscore the readiness of Latinos to be heard and that they do care about their environment, that they do care about having clean water. And it's crucial for both local and national leaders to take these views into consideration, especially these different statistics, and kind of analyze the different policies and perspectives that need to be addressed to protect their Mississippi River.
Last thing, we're coming into Hispanic Heritage Month, but I understand there's also a Latino Conservation Week that starts this weekend. Say more about that.
Absolutely. So Latino Conservation Week was launched in July 2014, and it's an initiative by Hispanic Access Foundation to support Latino communities into going outdoors and participating in activities to protect our natural resources. So we used to host this Latino Conservation Week during July, but after hearing input and feedback from communities about extreme heat conditions during July, we've decided to move it to September. So starting September 14th, we'll kick off the week until September 22nd, where we have millions of people participating, where we have hundreds of people participating and creating their own events to really eliminate those barriers so communities can access the outdoors and learn more about different organizations and resources. And you too can create your own event. Hispanic Access Foundation does have a grant form where you can request funding to create your own event. Unfortunately, that has already closed. But if you're interested in next year too, create your own event. But this year, you can look at our website at latinoconservationweek.org, where you can find different events near your city that you can participate in.
Vanessa Munoz is with the. Oh, go ahead. You had one more. Yeah.
I was just going to say that. And during this week, we have different partners and leaders and organizations, even national and local parks and businesses that engage in Latino Conservation Week. And overall, it's just to help really bring awareness of different conservation issues and to bring people and communities together to support our natural resources.
Vanessa Munoz is with the Hispanic Access Foundation. Thanks for making the time to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. Have a wonderful day.